you're going to have a lot of failures. You're going to have 10 fails for one success. So I call it failing forward. And being an entrepreneur is really just being a problem solver and understanding that it's not a mistake. That is a nudge to push you in a different direction.
I agree. You know, one of the things that we do in improv is we often say embrace the suck. Hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes business sexy again.
I'm Gina Tremarco, sales trainer and consultant at Pivot 10 Results and founder of Carolina Improv.
And I'm Rachel Pitts, mommy, wifey, and mortgage loan officer with U.S. Mortgage, also known as the singing lender.
I'm always going to chime in.
I love it. And I gotta come up with a true, real jingle. It's just there's a lot going on in my world and a lot going on in the world.
Yeah, and a lot going on this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. What did you think of Leah?
She's fantastic. I loved how she really was so open about anything that we asked about. I know that, and you and I both, Gina, have gone through our times where we felt like there were pieces of our past we should keep hidden for fear of what people would think. But now we have learned that shining the light on those dark corners of our past actually lights the way for others. And Leah goes into some of that in this episode, talking about some of her personal experiences.
I was so happy that she was okay with sharing that when I first met her in Phoenix. Because the president of our fan club, Casey Hazen, just gave her a new name, who's an amazing networker, connected me and Leah. So was really appreciative of that. And when I got a chance to meet with her in person to hear her personal adversity, I was like, wow, this story is like, these are stories that other women need to hear, so that when you feel like you've fallen down, there is a way back up. And really, my big thing that I really took away is, send the ladder back down. You'll know more about what that means when you listen to this episode with Leah Woodford. Before we jump in, Leah is the chief executive officer and founder of SmartFemme.com and SmartFemme Entertainment. She's so cool. She's got TV shows and magazines. I want to be her. SmartFemme was created as a result of her many years as a publicist, columnist, and a radio and TV personality. She was on TV as a relationship expert, so she knows. She's not a big fan of The Bachelor either, we learned. She has extensive experience as a business consultant and entrepreneur, but decided the only way she could make a difference for women was to create her own magazine that bridges the online community and the local community. Her passion is connecting people, and she is often coined the connector due to her extensive network. And let me tell you, her network is extensive, and I would like to be connected to it. So that is my plan. And hopefully she will connect us to some more cool people. And she's got a really cool conference coming up that I'm dying to go to. And I'm kind of happy that she moved it, because now maybe I'll be able to go to it. And
speaking of connections, I was having a little connectivity problem during this episode. So suddenly I am a little bit absent. It's because the internet did not like me. So
yes.
I promise I'll show back up.
Yeah. So you may not hear Rachel. It's not that I was really running over her, which I could have been, but she really was dropping in and out. So she is really there. Another shout out to Dermavogue. This show is brought to you by Dermavogue. Visit them at dermavogue.com for everything that you need to feel and look your best. So let's get started with this episode with Leah Woodford. Leah, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About, the podcast that makes business sexy again by helping women navigate successfully in business and life.
Thank you, Gina and Rachel. It's wonderful to be here.
We are so excited to have you. I loved meeting you in Phoenix. Thank you for your time. It was so cool hanging out with you in your studio that you and the office that you share with your husband. But I got to say, it was pretty cool getting on an airplane with you and like hanging out there. And I really did want to leave with that pilot that offered to whisk us away, I think, to Aspen.
So what
I'm sorry, what was that question?
No, I really wanted to like leave with that pilot, that offer, you know, the I can't remember his name,
Jeff.
The one that's in a band.
Yes, he is a cute little snack pack. He's just, yeah.
So wait, before we get into it, what about the airplanes? Are they your airplanes? You have an airplane business?
My husband has a jet charter company. Nice. So we have Cirrus SR-22s, the safest private aircraft. We have a flight school and we have a jet charter company.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That's very sweet. And we're going to talk a little bit later about Leah's conference that includes a hangar party.
Hanging in the hangar.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. You want to go just for that. And I got to tell you, I know we're going to dive into that in a little bit. I know that you've had to change the dates on it. Mm-hmm. Kind of makes me a little excited because I was going to come in for a day, but I had a client engagement that I didn't realize and I was going to miss the hangar party.
Ooh, I would have hated for you to miss that because it's going to be super special this year.
I know. So there's so much to talk about on this episode. So, but before we dive into all of that, I want to talk a little bit about what it means to be a woman. Your mother warned you about. Rachel and I are women that mothers might warn you about, especially our own mothers. Because we believe the best way to be successful is to be a woman who goes against the status quo and unapologetically makes bold moves by being real, raw, relevant, and occasionally, if not often, if not always, irreverent. So,
love it.
To break the ice with you, we want to ask you, what makes you a woman that our mothers warned us about?
Well, interestingly enough, I was raised by a single dad who is military. So there was no pink team. There was no blue team. I kind of learned how to be a girl from Charlie's Angels, you know, back in the day. And, you know, my dad said, nobody's going to help you. You've got to figure it out and you just got to move forward and no whining. So that's what I learned. If you want to make things happen, you got to make them happen and don't ask for permission.
Love it. No whining. I got to tell you that my dad was so crazy when it came to like crying not aloud.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he was a little bad about it because it created some insecurities in me growing up because he said crying would make me fat.
Oh, I've never heard that
fuck
one
up
before.
A kid. There you go. That's one good way.
No shit. You know, I talk about how amazing my dad was, but he was certainly not perfect. And that was one of those imperfect moments of his. But in a lot of ways, it toughened me up. It didn't keep me skinny, but
isn't it amazing how dads do that? I mean, my dad flew and wouldn't let me take flying lessons or pay for my college because I was a girl. So it was going to be a waste of money. But yes. Hey, we'll do it for the boys.
Yes. I heard the same thing with my dad when I said I want to go to college. My dad was so much older than my mother.
Yeah.
So he was like a grandpa kind of when I had, he was 48 when I was born. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I got that.
And when I said I wanted to go to college, his response was, oh, you're just going to get married and have kids.
Yeah, so that's what I heard too.
Why would you do that? And I said, jinxing myself into the future. What if my husband's a loser and we can't pay the bills and I cannot feed my children? And he said, that's a really good point. Like, who thinks like that? That's a whole nother episode to work on my bed.
Or a therapy session, Rachel, maybe.
or therapy. Anyway, speaking of life challenges, you know, when I got a chance to meet with you in person, mm-hmm. I felt such a connection to you because you had such a great story about challenges and adversity that you went through that brought you to where you are today in your business. And I think it's really important to talk about that because we can all fall and fail and it's in the getting back up. Would you mind sharing a little bit of that personal story of yours?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. My, background, I studied to be a journalist and communications, but I too married a loser really young. So found myself divorced with two little boys at 23. And I'm not going to call him a loser, but I'm just going to say that he was into drugs. I had no idea what drugs were. And after two stints in rehab and he wouldn't change, I found myself divorced at 23 with two little boys. And let's just say local news paid about $20,000. There was no way I would be able to pay for daycare and take care of my kids. So I went into sales.
So you were in local news at the time as a reporter.
I was working towards that. I was the idiot who followed my husband's career and put mine on hold. And then when I went back to local news, you know, I had been writing. I just couldn't make the bill. So I decided to go into sales so that I could not only make more money, but I would have the flexibility to go to the soccer games and, you know, make more money and actually have more freedom.
And that was your first marriage.
That was, yes, right? That was marriage number one.
That was marriage number one. And then marriage number two.
Oh, yes. Actually, he was a good guy. I'm going to say he was a good guy. He was a captain for Southwest. He was in a motorcycle accident, and the guy that went down and the guy that came back up weren't the same. And it was 16 months of rehab putting him back together again. And after that, I was diagnosed with a rare form of skin cancer, which resulted in 11 months of reconstruction, 5 surgeries, and he filed for divorce after the 3rd surgery. So, man, it was really 2011, 10 and 11 were, they just sucked for me. I'm just going to say that.
Me too.
and that surgery was on your face.
Yes. I by that time I had become a TV personality and my face was my living. And, I couldn't be on camera. First of all, I had been off camera for 16 months because it was 4 types of rehab, you know, for 16 months, taking my husband back and forth. And then I couldn't come back because I didn't have a face. And then when I finally could come back, there was nothing to come back to because the media industry had been disrupted so much. The television stations had merged and laid off people. And 3 of the 4 magazines I wrote for went out of business. So I had to create my own business.
And all of that really kind of, when I heard your story from one situation to the next situation, and you think about like when your face is your business.
It was scary. It was really, really scary. In 2009, my daughter was then a freshman at NAU, and she had saw one of them. I was a dating and relationship columnist and TV correspondent. I know that's hard to believe, but I was. And she had saw one of my dating segments in the dorm room, the rec room with her friends. And she gave me the call. It's just like, oh my God, Mom, you got to stop this. You're perpetuating the Cinderella syndrome. You told me the man's not the plan. You need to create something that's going to educate, inspire, and empower women. You guys can see that is etched into my brain. I know those words by heart because I felt that she was right. You know, it was incongruent with the way I raised her. For most of her life, I was a single mom. And you know, I mean, I worked my ass off. I had to work twice as hard as my male counterparts. And after you reach that certain level of success in business, here's what happened to me. They would take my territory away from me, give it to some junior guy, and then raise my quota and give me a new, brand new territory. And I just said, enough of this stuff. I'm going to start my own business. And I became a business consultant.
Wow. I've got other questions bouncing off of just that have nothing to do with the questions we've already put together. Starting with one, what would you recommend to women who their face is not necessarily their business, but in general, they come from a place of insecurity and lack of confidence based on how they look?
You know what? I'm just going to say, and I too had that problem. I was 49 when I lost my face. And
I'd like to interject that this is a podcast and you may not be seeing Leah's face, but she's beautiful. You are beautiful.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
Whatever face you lost, you gained a beautiful one.
Well, thank you. It's not the same face that I'm used to. So looking in the mirror for me is still very different because it's completely different. But I was 49. I lost my face. That was, you know, I was in the media, so it was kind of a big deal. And then my husband filed for divorce. And you have to remember that men and society placed, and I'm going to say placed, an expiration date on women. And I was feeling extremely insecure at that time. I mean, very, very insecure. And if it hadn't been for my then business partner, who was a former client of mine, business client, I put his LLC together. He's actually the one who built smartfem.com, Paul Woodford. If he hadn't have sent me that plane ticket to New York and just said, hey, come out here, we're going to get SmartFem off the ground because my ex-wife is, you know, telling my 13-year-old that the man's the plan. This is important. So that's, you know, and when you have no face, you have no living, and you've lost everything. You know, we locked down for 10 days and we got SmartFem up and running right away. We didn't have a choice, either one of us.
And then you married him.
Well, that was later. That, you know, this happened in 2011. We started dating in 2012 and we got married in 2014.
I just love the story. I just love the story. I just think it's such an amazing story.
So wait, did you have the hots for him before you flew out there, or did you get the hots for him as you went along?
That really didn't come into play. We were both focused. He was going through an acrimonious divorce that had been going on for years in New York, and he didn't live. He was building SmartFem virtually. He was a virtual business client. I mean, it wasn't like he was here. So we talked on the phone and everything, and he was building SmartFem virtually. And for those of you who don't know, SmartFem.com is our digital magazine that's been around since 2011. We launched it, did a soft launch in 2010, but really did the official launch in 2011. But
let's talk about SmartFem. Mm-hmm. But before we do, along those lines of what you went through, what advice would you give women on, you know, our own insecurity about how we look, or our face isn't right, or we all have our little things? You know, what is one piece of advice that you could give to help us overcome that?
Well, you know, it's like Newsweek in the 80s. They said a woman had a bigger chance of getting killed by a terrorist than getting remarried again after the age of 40. I'm just going to say I got married at 52. That's not true.
I remember that stat. I do. It crushed
my soul. I think it was 1984.
Soul.
Yes. And they retracted that. But the other thing I want you to just say, first of all, nobody puts baby in the corner, and there are no expiration dates. More women in their 50s are creating successful businesses. So the only fear that you have to fear is your own insecurity, and just know that there are enough women out there and there are enough resources. I mean, now is a better time than ever to start a business. I mean, Google and Facebook have leveled the playing field. You don't have to have the big marketing budget that you had to have years ago. So,
well, let's talk about your launch into SmartFem and how you made that leap, especially after everything you went through, to then go start that business. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, I didn't have a face, so a magazine kind of seemed safe. I could hide behind the magazine. And I'm going to just say that I did, because I was going through multiple surgeries, getting put back together again. But then, as everything does, you know, marketing is a moving target. It changed. And, you know, we had to change with it. Social media is here to stay. And it came with a vengeance in 2011 and 2012. So I had to learn to get over myself and realize, hey, it's really not about me. And I chose to be a fairy godmother and being in the service to other women after that. And that really propelled my business forward. I think when you take the focus off yourself and when you serve others, it's just a more stable place to be, and it's a lot more fun.
You know, that actually reminds me of one of our improv tenets that we preach. One of the number one rules in improv is to make other people look good on stage.
You have to.
when the focus is on making them look good and not even thinking about how you look or how you're showing up or what you're doing, you automatically look good.
You know, I think there's a lot to that. And I think one of the biggest things for me with starting my company and everything was maintaining that promise to my daughter to create something that would educate, empower, and inspire women. And here we are 10 years later, you know, and we're still doing it. And actually, if you think about it, we started it in 2009, but I had to hit the pause button because of my ex-husband's accident and my cancer. But we've been at this for a really long time. And I'm very proud of what we've been able to accomplish. And I'm proud, I call myself a fairy godmother because I've got to grant the wishes of the girls who've worked for me. You know, they've got their dream jobs. They got to go to New York. You know, one got a full ride master's at NYU for writing for Smart Femme. I have another one who is the assistant editor at Redbook writing about feminism. And when she came to work for me, she said, "I want to write about fashion." And I said, "Well, that's fine, but we're a postmodern feminist company. You're going to have to learn a little bit about it." She loved it so much, she changed her thesis from fashion to feminism.
Oh, wow.
And I say feminism lightly because I'm a postmodern feminist. I'm never going to burn my bra and I'm never going to bash men. I'm married to one and I raised two. So I don't bash men.
I like that. We're postmodern feminists.
You are.
It's really great to point out what you were saying, Lee, about being the fairy godmother, because I think so many young girls have been raised to dream about being Cinderella and they want to be the princess or they want to be the queen. And it takes a pretty long time. And I think it takes a certain level of maturity and experience to understand that being the fairy godmother and being the one that swoops in and helps someone else's dreams come true is a much more rewarding place to be. But, you know, unfortunately, in Cinderella, she's not portrayed as the most glamorous. She's portrayed as the old lady, but she's the one that made it all happen.
Well, it depends on which version of Cinderella you watch, too. There's some pretty fairy godmothers as well. But
I was thinking the Disney one.
The Rogers and Hammerstein I like a little better. But I think young women... they not only have to help themselves, but they have to help each other. And we, as fairy godmothers, we actually have to lead the way, and we have to send the ladder back down to the next woman. And traditionally, women have not done that.
We have to send the ladder back down.
Yes.
I love that. I have to write that down before I forget. So tell us a little bit more about Smart Femme as a company. What do you do? What do you provide?
Oh my God, what don't we do?
That would have been the better question.
It started out as a digital company, a digital magazine. And of course, with social media, and then when Google acquired YouTube, video was going to be important. And I realized that people are visual. So... it took me 8 months. I went back to film school in 2014 because I learned how to be in front of the camera, like, I don't know, back in Nam, you know, so many years ago. And I went back to film school in 2014, and I got to tell you, it was really intimidating because I was the oldest and the slowest in my class. There were 22 of us, 8 of us graduated, and only 2 of us have been able to monetize it. So... the irony is video is bigger than most people realize. And like Facebook Lives, only 1% of people use them. And Facebook, all the algorithms are going to Facebook groups and they're going to Facebook Lives. You know, I'm fortunate. I'm one of the beta streamers for LinkedIn. I can tell you that my LinkedIn has gone up 300% since I started doing LinkedIn streaming. So if you're not doing video, you need to do it. So my shows now, we've become a complete media group with 2 magazines and 2 television shows on Amazon Prime and Roku, because different people consume news differently and consume stories differently. So you got to go where the food is.
Hey, everybody. I know you're enjoying this amazing episode, but I wanted to break in really quick and give a shout out to Dermavogue, our sponsor. Dermavogue at dermavogue.com is one of Gina and I's secrets to looking so amazing. Actually, more amazing than we already look, but thanks to Dr. Turek and his fabulous staff, we look and feel our best. Check them out, dermavogue.com.
I love that you have TV shows and magazines, and that's pretty exciting. Can we talk a little bit more about the magazine portion of it? Because I know that you have a different perspective of kind of like the magazine is back kind of thing.
You and I
talked a little bit about the Amazon bookstores too. Let's talk about magazines.
I'm just going to say, it's funny because Amazon just opened their first bookstore.
Retail. Is that the one that's the one in Phoenix?
Yes. Well, no, they're in other places too.
Okay. Cause I did see that one.
Yep. They realized that people, you know, millennials even, you know, they were wrong. Millennials actually like to touch real books and they like real magazines. And I created Smart Femme Success for speakers, authors, and entrepreneurs. Now, this is not smartfemme.com. Smartfemme.com is the mobile magazine for the woman on the go. It's everything from parenting to business to wellness, everything. This is strictly for speakers, authors, and entrepreneurs. You know, we do them, their print and their digital, but I love them because when I'm, you know, up for a speaking gig, you know, I can send them my speaker, you know, my speaker information and tuck in a magazine. But I can't believe how many people love print because it's been gone for so long, you know, bringing it back. And there's just something really special about touching and feeling and, you know, it's really created a whole new surge in my business. You know, and I feel like this is like smartfemme.com. I have an entire team and staff of writers, and that's on autopilot. You know, this one I create and I get to see it from start to finish. I do it every other month, and it really goes directly to my side hustle passion, which is working with speakers, authors, and entrepreneurs. Because if you're a speaker or an author, you're an entrepreneur by default.
Oh yeah. 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 And now you're starting to produce magazines for others.
I am. That was the side hustle. I did not know this, but this opened 4 different revenue streams for me when I did it. And I did not want to do it. My speaker coach said, you know, you need a lead gen for collecting emails. And I don't know about you guys. I get about 250 emails a day. I was not excited about email marketing at all. Not even a little bit, but, reluctantly, I did it, and I'm having a ball with it, and it's worked out amazing. It's worked out amazing. I had like 300 people sign up for it for the first day because there's real content. There's no fluff. It is what you say, but I've been able to leverage it. I've interviewed Jack Canfield for it. I've interviewed Panache Desai. I mean, I've been able to get interviews with celebrities. Michelle Soro of Hollywood Extra is right here on this one. She's right here.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I've been able to leverage it, get advertising dollars, get the kind of speakers that I want to have at my Smart Femme Summit and strategically partner with some of the bigger speakers.
What are some of the other industries that have come to you to produce magazines?
Oh, I'm really excited. I'm working right now in the retail world. I'm creating something for Damon John's business partner, Linda Johansson James. It's IRG Magazine. It's International Retail Group. But this is about how to market your retail companies and your franchises. So that's one. I'm doing one for a green plumber out of Dallas and a lady in Houston who does home building remodeling. So it's opened quite a few doors, and I've got more conference calls with more people that want to create magazines.
Why should a company or an entrepreneur now consider doing a magazine?
You know why? Because nobody else is doing it. probably in your industry. And the other thing is, everybody is getting flooded with, you know, marketing campaigns, but sending something really beautiful and tangible makes a difference. You know, when you can touch it, feel it, smell it, and integrate all the senses, it's going to have way more impact because it's 3D versus, you know, just one dimensional.
It's kind of interesting to me, especially when it comes to, you know, the importance of a speaker having a book, which is something we're constantly beating me up about that I don't, mine's not done yet. But if you have that magazine, that's something that can be a leave behind or that you bring to a speaking event to use as a marketing
platform. It's a great marketing tool. The other thing that I really love about it, it's how I build, you know, I take a couple of them with me. And for those of you that, you know, don't have a copy, they can sign up right then and get the digital copy. And it's how I build my list.
How can people go sign up for the for a digital copy?
Go to smartfundnetwork.com/magazine.
Okay. Awesome. You have something that you call your mantra is find your voice. Mm-hmm. How do you encourage people, especially women, to be bolder in their own businesses by finding their voice?
You know, that's why I created smartfem.com to give women a platform and a voice, because I think, well, actually, I know this to be true. Through parenting and through schooling, women have been told to dumb themselves down, you know, and that the man was the plan. But hey, the divorce rate in America is huge, you know, and your husband can lose his job, he can die. Look at the coronavirus. I say be the best version of you and create a product and service. Know who you serve, know how you serve, and know what people are going to get from working with you. If you can answer those three questions, you've got a winning business model.
Awesome. Thanks for that. You also talk about so-called failures. You have success and you have so-called failures that are a really important part of growing.
Well, I think most people really have the rose-colored glasses on when it comes to entrepreneurism. And I'm just going to tell you, being an entrepreneur, here's what I've learned. Is first of all, you're going to have a lot of failures. You're going to have 10 fails for one success. So I call it failing forward. And being an entrepreneur is really just being a problem solver and picking yourself up after you make a mistake. And understanding that it's not a mistake, that is a nudge to push you in a different direction. So instead of viewing it as a mistake, it's a course correct.
I agree. We, you know, one of the things that we do in improv is we call embrace, we often say embrace the suck. but what we really teach is we teach failure. We teach being open to failure, because you think about it from a comedy perspective, when we fail on stage, it's kind of funny. So we win by failing on stage because the audience is still kind of rooting for us. They're like, oh, thank goodness that's not me. Right. So they're rooting for us and they feel for us and then they laugh at, I think they laugh more at the fact that we don't get shaken up by it.
Well, and think about this, the most successful people in the world, the biggest influencers have been so relatable. Who can't relate to failure? You know, and exactly. Who wants to work with Polly Perfect? I mean, think about this for a second. Oprah, what is the one thing that she has struggled with her whole life?
Her weight.
Absolutely. She's made over $400 million, you know, in Weight Watchers, being a spokesperson, because she has been honest and transparent and, you know, embraced her relatabilities and her flaws. And I think it's really intimidating to work with somebody that's Polly Perfect. I don't want to. It scares the hell out of me. Let your freak flag fly. I mean, people really want to know who you are. And I love that the millennials want authenticity. And I work with a whole thing of, you know, a whole team of millennials. So I've learned that, you know what? Less produced, a little more raw, a little more real is the way to go.
Oh, it sounds like a bit of our tagline of our show, which is our whole, you know, our whole positioning is about being real and raw, but still trying to be relevant and not take ourselves too seriously. I think when we show up as we are, our audience engages and connects with us because, you know, I'm often a hot mess.
Oh, so, you know what? We all are.
Yeah.
And those who look perfect all the time, you're lying.
You know? Exactly.
You're lying because nobody has the perfect life.
And nobody trusts perfect, I don't think.
No, I think that people want real. I think they want authentic. And one of the reasons Steve Jobs, who was a mess, by the way, but also brilliant mess. I mean, think about his early Apple commercials. Give us your geeks. Give us your misfits.
Yep.
Give us, yep, you know, give us your rejects. And he really knew who his tribe was. And I really think that's the key to everything. Find your voice. Find your tribe. You know, because they're going to resonate with your voice.
I love that example of Steve Jobs because you look at Simon Sinek's Start With Why book and he references it a lot of finding what your why is, what your company why is, not necessarily what your what is, right? It's not right. What you do or what you produce. It's why you're doing it. And Apple from day one was always about going against the status quo, right? And staying in that lane.
But he knew who his tribe was first.
Right, exactly.
And he marketed to those people and then it just resonated.
Exactly.
It just resonated.
You can't really market unless you first know what that why is and then you find the tribe that aligns to it.
Well, you got to know your why and you got to have a powerful why because your why has got to be bigger than your excuse. And let's face it, when you have to actually start taking action, there's going to be a lot of fear and there's going to be a lot of procrastination and people don't like to take action. So your why has to be bigger than your why not.
Oh, I love that. Oh, we're going to use that quote. We'll try to remember that one. Let's, I know we lost Rachel due to technical glitches, which, you know, yeah, it happens. It happens. It doesn't faze us. So for those who don't hear her beautiful voice or see her face, if you're watching the video, I lost her. I'm waiting for her to come back. So I want to talk a little bit about your conference coming up. You had it scheduled and we'll talk about the virus in a little bit as well, but let's talk about your conference and what the Smart Femme conference is all about.
All right. So the Smart Femme Summit, this is our third year doing it. It was scheduled for April 23rd and 24th, and it is still scheduled for April 23rd and 24th. However, instead of having one conference, we're going to have two. We're making that a virtual summit, and then the live summit will be October 8th and 9th. So with the coronavirus, we decided that, you know what, I talked to all of my speakers. That's why things have been all hands on deck for the last few days, is because I wanted to make sure that they were still available and to lock down their calendars for October 8th and 9th, because that'll be our live event. But we are all still going to do a Smart Femme virtual summit on our originally scheduled days. So instead of just having one summit, they're going to get a bonus of two summits, a virtual, because I think it's important to keep the motivation and the momentum going in times like these.
Oh, especially right now. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about what we can do to stay motivated in times like these. What can people expect from the conference if they attend one of them?
You know, I'm just going to tell you why I started this Smart Femme Summit, because my why is really important.
Good.
I spent about 17 grand with somebody after I wrote my first book that made big promises and didn't deliver. But I loved the promise so much. And I realized, you know what? I have an Amazon Prime TV show. I have a magazine. I can actually make and keep this promise. And so we've been doing it for several years now. And that's what I really am most proud of, because we have an engaged platform. Yay, Rachel's back. And we've got an Engage platform, and we've been able to keep the momentum, and I've attracted some of the most amazing speakers. I mean, we've got Patty Aubrey, who is the president of Jack Canfield's company. I have Jen DeVore Richter, the former marketing director of NASA. I have Jake Ballantyne, who is one of the best speakers for kids, you know, high schools and colleges. So the youth market. And I love everybody in our group is amazing. And we've all partnered together. I had Michelle Soro from Hollywood Extra, who's going to be teaching how to maximize your Facebook Live. So I love the people in my group, and I love their expertise, but you know what? They're good people. And my speakers are accessible. You know, I don't want the diva. There's no room for divas on my stage, especially right now with the coronavirus. I think now's the time that we need to bond together and help each other and share our platforms and just get people through this difficult time.
So who should be attending the conference?
Anybody, you know what? I'm going to say speakers, authors, and entrepreneurs. But it's been really beneficial. We saw major breakthroughs last year. One of the girls that Casey Haston, I love her. She's
the president of our fan club.
She's amazing. But she was a recruiter last year, and you know, we challenged her, and she stepped up to it. Not only did she create a personal brand, but her company is also sponsoring her podcast, and now she's VP of that company. And I think it's just amazing. You know, and her story isn't unusual. We had a number of breakthroughs with our conference because we have different speakers that talk on different things. And I got to tell you, one of the things I love about it is I stay in my lane. You know, I'm not an expert on everything, but I have brought the experts in. So it takes all the pressure off me because I know I have rock stars on my stage.
Yeah. And I think what's also cool, we've seen all kinds of different coaching models in the coaching world. And you and I talked about this. There was for quite some time, it was the pay to play model where if you mm-hmm. wanted to be a speaker, you had to pay to be a speaker. And really the only person making the money is the person putting on the event, but you don't do that. You are truly bringing people together.
Nope, I don't. You can't pay your way to be on my stage. You have to be vetted. And there has to be social proof. You know, if you can't prove what you say, you're never going to be on my stage because I have to protect my peeps. I went through the $17,000, right. You know, promise. So I know what that means to invest lots of money and not deliver. You know, we have Tony Whatley, who I just love. Tony Whatley he's the side hustle millionaire. This is a guy who was an executive in the gas and oil business. And him and I bonded over cars because, you know, I was turning wrenches under cars at 7 with my dad. Remember, I was the son he didn't have till years later. So I love cars and I love automotive. And we bonded over that. But he created a Facebook group, got over 100,000 people engaged, people in his group, sold it for millions of dollars, and now he's doing it again. And then he wrote his book, Side Hustle Millionaire, and it went to Amazon bestseller in 2 weeks. A year later, he did the same book in the Audible version, and it went to Amazon bestseller in 3 days. So,
I have a big ask for you.
Okay.
Would you introduce us to him?
Oh, you bet I will. You bet I will. Tony is just, he is a sweetheart and he's a smart guy and he tells the truth every time. And I just, you know, I'm honored to have him on my stage, but he's just a cool guy and he's a no BS. Actually, he says no bullshit. He just says it, you know.
I love that.
Him and Michelle Soro both just let it rip in real time. And I love that. There are no filters. They're going to tell you the unfiltered truth. And I love that too.
That's awesome. It'd be great to have him on our show.
Oh, you would love it. And he's got a massive following. So it would be good for your show.
That'd be great.
I love especially the idea of side hustle millionaire because I know there's so many people out there that are not living their dream and they would love to find a way to you know, side hustle their way to their dream and let their main hustle fund that side hustle to get there. So I think it'd be cool. I'm going to pick up that book for sure.
Absolutely. It's a great book. And I'm just going to say, the summit was a side hustle passion for me because I was so angry with that broken promise, but I love the promise. And now that side hustle has become a full blown passion, resulting in another magazine, but also multiple income streams. In fact, it's boosted my Amazon Prime ratings and my smartphone.com ratings. So
that's so amazing. Well, bouncing back for a second, back to the magazine and an Amazon TV show and things like that, just from a selfish perspective, I want to ask, you know, what is some advice you would give people who want to get their magazine launched or want to have an Amazon TV show? Where do they get started?
Join the SmartFem group. You'll learn a lot. Amazon Prime, I'm just going to say you better develop a thick skin because it was 8 months of reject for me before they finally said yes. And they are really the most difficult. Roku is so much easier to get into, but Amazon, you know, is the credibility piece. So, and the reputation enhancement. So it's expensive and they're difficult to work with. Just because, like Facebook, you can't pick up the phone and call them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And getting a magazine started? Same thing.
I would say get into the group. You know, there's a couple of different ways. Really, what you need to know before you get started on the magazine is like, who's your target demographic? You know, how do you serve? Who do you serve? And what's in it for them? And then you just organize it. But you've got to figure out what your content's going to be and who your readers are and what they're looking for. You've got to give people what they want, sprinkle in what they need, but you've got to build your platform first.
So when you say join the SmartFem group, how would others do that?
Just go to Facebook and go to SmartFem Network for authors, speakers, and entrepreneurs and just ask to join. There's three questions.
Okay, great. Well, we'll put that link in our show notes as well.
Okay.
Okay, so I've got that. For the conference, you've got the virtual and then you've got the live. Are the speakers different or are they the same? They're the same.
I'm so blessed. All of my speakers said yes. All of us have had canceled, you know, bookings. So I'm fortunate. I jumped right on it. I rebooked the venue. I called all my speakers personally and said, "Hey, here's what I want to do." They all said yes. And I'm very blessed for that. Even our panelists are pretty amazing. I have Dave Sanderson. You may have heard of Dave Sanderson. Used to be the sales director for Oracle, but he was also the last guy off the plane when Sully's plane went down, almost died saving everybody on the plane. He will be at both summits. So, I love the people in my group. You know, they are just, they're heroes and sheroes,
That's awesome.
In so many ways.
And to sign up for the conference, what's the best way to do that?
I haven't changed the website yet. Join the Facebook group because we just literally changed yesterday and we haven't even had a chance to update the website yet. But go to the Facebook group and we'll get you in there. But we'll post everything there and then we'll make the changes to the website.
Okay, awesome. On a side... Mm-hmm. We want to take a beat to talk about what is going on in the world right now with this virus. And I've watched some of the videos that you've posted talking about it. I know we're all starting to kind of talk a little bit about it, trying to calm down the panic. What is some of your perspective or advice on what's going on with the coronavirus and how do we move forward in our businesses while we deal with this?
You know, I'm actually looking at this as something really kind of positive. My LeahWoodford.com website, my speaker website, has so many bells and whistles to it that I really couldn't update it myself. I've been learning ClickFunnels. I've built a new speaker website that I'm going to be redirecting everything to, created a speaker one sheet. I'm focusing on the things that I can change, and I'm not worried about the stuff I can't change. Now is a great time to see where the holes are in your business and start working on those things. It's also a great time to start building strategic partnerships and alliances. And, you know, like the Smart Femme Summit, we had the Smart Femme Summit. Now we have two summits. We have the virtual summit and the live summit. So it's a great way to double down on your business and focus on the things, maybe the little administration stuff, or start sending out your speaker packets, whatever. It's a great time to double down on your marketing right now.
That's how I feel. Marketing and strategy. And innovation. What can you innovate and do a little bit differently?
I think that's it. When other people are, you know, buying into the fear and panic, I think that you present a calming and steady voice, you know, and turn off the news. I realize you got to stay abreast of everything, but only listen to it once a day. You know, there's no need to be sucked down into the negativity. So limit your time on the news and just focus on the things that you can change. Don't worry about the things that you can't, and double down on your marketing right now.
Great advice in general, but definitely great advice right now. We have some closing questions for you.
Okay.
They are our signature questions. Technology has brought Rachel back to us.
Yay! Here I am.
So I'm going to hand this section off to Rachel so that she has a voice.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for understanding that. Things are crazy in the world right now. So since this is the podcast that makes business sexy again, how do you define the word sexy?
Sexy starts from the inside out. You know, really knowing and loving who you are, how you serve, how you show up, and sending the ladder back down. And I think that, especially now with what's going on, you have the opportunity to be grace under fire.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Very nice. Yes. So what is the best advice you've been given by another woman or a man, since you were brought up by a single dad?
Don't listen to the naysayers. Pay attention. Well, this was actually from Jim Rohn, and I absolutely love it. Pay attention to the five people that are in your life, because they have influence on you. And if they're not good people, maybe you need to replace them, or at least put up boundaries. And I've had to do that with family members. You know, be careful who you give headspace to.
Great advice. That's solid.
That is good advice. So is that advice that someone in particular gave
you? Actually, several mentors have told me that over the years. One of my favorite female bosses, one of my very first corporate clients were Smart Femme. Don't give headspace to the people that don't support you.
Yep.
And sometimes with family members, you can't really get rid of them, but you've got to put appropriate boundaries around them.
That could be a whole podcast, right, Gina?
Yeah, we should have that.
Indeed. Any advice that you wish you had been given?
I wish I would have been given, I really wish I would have had something like Smart Femme around when I was a kid, because I'm just going to digress a little bit. This really happened to me. I was with one of my clients at a restaurant last week, and it was a Monday or Tuesday night. I can't remember. And we're having conversations at a wine room, and we're having dinner, and it was fabulous. All of a sudden the TV got really, really loud. And I asked the waiter, what's going on? They said, The Bachelor's on. And the entire restaurant was filled with women watching, the single women watching The Bachelor.
There's actually people that watch that?
Yeah, that's what I said. But I'm just going to say, ladies, Prince Charming isn't coming. Neither is Superman, to quote my friend Aaron Brockovich. So be your own superhero. Save yourself. be the very best person you can be. Be the person you want to attract. But Superman's not coming, and neither is Prince Charming. So be the best version of yourself.
Mic drop.
That was all our signature questions, I think.
That's why
she mic dropped and we're all in like silence, and I like my whole brain open for like another set of questions.
Let that sink in.
Isn't that crazy though, you guys, that then the entire restaurant was closed down, and this really propelled me that Smart Femme is really onto something, because one of my daughter's conversations in 2009 was, Mom, I'm married to the education you're providing for me, but most of the women I go to school with don't know what they want to be, but they can describe every single second of their wedding day. Boom. And I knew she was right. And in 11 years later, I have confirmation as of last week that women are still making the man the plan. And I love men, don't get me wrong, but we have to be the plan, and then the man shows up.
That's right.
And somehow I think we need to deprogram women's thinking that man has to be the plan. Exactly. And wherever that's coming from.
You know, and I love men, you know, and my son goes, Mom, when are you going to start Smart Dude? And I said, honey, as long as I can educate women and empower them, you will no longer have to be an ATM machine. He says, boom, Mom. Good. That works for me.
Yeah, we love men too. And men have their versions of, you know, of what they deal with on the other end of it too, because of how women were raised or conditioned and what they have to contend with because of it.
And I think especially the younger men, they're looking for female partners. They want to partner with somebody in life. You know, they want somebody they can talk business to, that they, you know, because it's work-life integration. There is no work-life balance nowadays. It's work-life integration. So they're looking for partners that they can really, really hunker down with and work with.
I have not heard the phrase now work-life integration. I've heard blend, but not integration. I like that, integration.
Oh, yeah. Paul and I work, his jet charter company, we created a magazine for him that goes in the back of jets, Elite Entertainment Magazine.
So cool.
Thank you. And we work together. And if you can work with somebody, we've been working together for 10 years now, you can work with somebody and not kill them and still adore them, probably ought to marry him.
Good advice. I'm going to try that sometime one day.
Well, the other thing is that, you know, since you and I, Lee, we've both been through a few marriages, and this one, my current and final marriage, you know, he is Prince Charming to me, but the reason that he was attracted to me is because I'm so independent and I am my own thing. And it's actually our joke that, like, one day I can just sit at home and be, you know, wear a French maid outfit. And he laughs every time because he knows that I would never, ever be happy doing that, because I like to have my own things. And that's one of the reasons that he is attracted to me. That's one of the reasons that it works.
Absolutely. And think about this. You know, how much pressure is it to be someone's entire world? I want to share your world. I don't want to be responsible for it. And I want to contribute to your happiness. I don't want to be ultimately responsible for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a whole nother episode. We should think about that one, Rachel, and have Keith on, because we haven't had Keith on for a while. That'd be a really good conversation to have on the male perspective.
Taking care of somebody.
I think there are men that really do go through. I've got a guy friend right now going through a divorce, and he's trying to keep it really kind of amicable and decent. And his wife, she never had to work. She's a stay-at-home mom.
Oh, good. And that sounds like Paul's ex-wife.
And now as they're trying to transition out, and she's the one who wanted the divorce.
Oh, sounds just like it.
and he's making sure that she's set up really, he's doing all the right things as a human being.
But how is she doing? That's
and then some.
How is she doing? Is she stepping up to that?
She's sounds pretty needy, like it's not enough.
Oh, yeah. She doesn't want to work.
So there's that frustration, right? Because we can't, it's not just about what women go through, but there's that frustration too for a man like that who's trying to do all the right things and probably more than he needs to.
Amen. Amen. And I'm just going to say, you know, we went through that with Paul, same exact circumstances. And, you know, we ended up getting custody of both his kids, you know, because she wanted to make the man the plan. The kids wanted to come live with us, you know, and that was, oh God, that was difficult. But they're with us. They're doing well. Megan didn't know how to work. She came to us 18. She didn't know how to work. She never had a job. She barely passed high school. Fast forward, she graduates from college with a 4.3 in engineering and has a job waiting for her in Spokane when she graduates.
Oh, that's amazing. That's awesome.
Her mom was preaching the man's the plan.
Yeah.
So, you know, All right, ladies. Stepped up. But listen, guys, this has been so great.
I know. And you got to go. So we want to say thank you so much for your time today. And for people want to get a hold of you and just find everything out, smartfem.com, the best place to go.
They can do that. I would say hit me up on all the social media. You can find me, SmartFem, me, Leah Woodford, and SmartFem all over social media.
Okay. Fantastic. Once again, thanks to Leah for being on the show today. And thanks to all of our warners for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. And to our sponsor, Dermavogue, that keeps us prettier than we already are. To connect with me, Gina Tremarco, directly or learn more about Pivot 10 results, you can find me at womenyourmotherwarnsyouabout.com or ginatremarco.com.
And to connect with me, Rachel Pitts, you can find me all over social media as The Singing Lender, and you can find me at thesinginglender.com. And find all our social media links, including the one place to find Keith Walters on LinkedIn and some cool free downloads at our website, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
And yes, we love Keith. We miss you, Keith. And hey, if you love our show, show the love and share with a friend, colleague, or client. Just one way to give value with a free resource to others and strengthen those business relationships without expecting anything in return. Give them some content from some of our experts. Warners, keep on keeping it sexy. And remember, for the best relationships, keep it real, raw, and relevant.
And a little irreverence doesn't hurt either.
This really will get serious soon.
It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof. Monkey, monkey.